Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that ever continues to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for August 20th in the year of our Lord, 2015. It's hour two of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. Now, this is incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We believe the checks and balances inspired by the Almighty put in place by our founders. Brilliant. And the solution to the problems we face today. We don't need a revolution, ladies and gentlemen. Go study history. Revolutions don't turn out well. The United States or the American Revolution, a notable exception, thank heavens, I might add. But you know what? Revolution is not the answer when the founders gave us the matrix, the solution, the answer, the blueprint, the guidelines for success. And so we stand against revolution, but for restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We're for the great restoration of the ideals that made America the envy of the world. And it can be done by our greater numbers if we but educate ourselves and get involved. Anxiously engage ourselves in a good cause. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
You're very welcome, sir. We're going to talk about steak. You heard me. We're going to talk about steak, you know, filet mignon kind of stuff. But before we do, listener Mike from Utah wants to chime in. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Yesterday, Kurt asked me to call in and talk about a movie I saw on Netflix. It's called Four Blood Moons.
Four Blood Moons, yep.
Uh-huh. And in the last 500 years, there's been four steps. We're in the fourth step. The first step was in 1493 to 1494. And tends to have things to do with the Jews, and that was when the Spanish Inquisition basically was forcing Jews to become Christians. Then the next one was in 1949 to 1950, when the Israel was made a nation, and the next one was in 1967 and 1968, and that's maybe the one he was most interested in, where in that Six-Day War, Arab forces were, in many cases, 10-1. And the Arabs themselves talked about seeing legions of angels, and they surrendered to handfuls of Israeli soldiers. And it was just interesting to note that's some of the things that happened there.
All right, so help me get my arms around this movie, The Four Blood Moons. Is it a sci-fi movie? What's the point of it, or what's the goal? Is it for fun to watch, or is it a harbor for the future? What's kind of the idea here?
Harbinger of the future. It's on Netflix, so if you've got Netflix, you can watch it.
Okay.
But it's just interesting. One of the quotes from the movie was, when there's a solar eclipse, the nations of the world do badly, and when there's a lunar eclipse, which is a blood moon, the Jews do badly, or there's something significant happening with the Jews. And it was just an interesting movie to watch, and it talked about miracles during the Six-Day War that happened, just some other miracles that happened.
So the point is, this kind of ties to some biblical prophecy and some end times scenarios, and acts as kind of a guideline, if you will, to kind of understand some of the complicated events brought forth in a modern movie to help you kind of get your arms around it, right?
Exactly. It's just something interesting to watch. I wouldn't base, doing a lot of things on it, but it was just, to me, really interesting. And the fact that, I remember the Six-Day War. I'm old enough to remember that. And, there wasn't a lot. I remember hearing a little bit about some of these miracles. didn't make the press.
Well, if it has to do with biblical prophecy, it's not going to make the press, Kurt.
Yeah, well, that's the key point here. I had never heard, I mean, I had heard the six-day war, and, you know, I didn't know how many days it really lasted, but, you know, I'd never heard of any of the reports about, you know, these Arab folks saying that when they looked at the Israelis, you know, they might have seen, instead of two guys, 200 guys or 2,000 or whatever, and yet, to me, that would be pretty interesting news to report.
Yeah.
You know, I just found that an interesting part. Had you heard about that before, Sam?
Oh, I know about the blood moons. Yeah, there's a lot of research to it. There's a lot of biblical prophecy tied into it. There's a lot of end time stuff. A lot of it relates to the rapture. A lot of it relates to the ancients. And a lot of people say that it ties in with the Illuminati. A lot of the details surrounding it as well. And, you know, the for a fun movie to watch or an educational movie to watch, valuable. For the ability to kind of understand in general a lot of the prophecies and some of the end time scenarios, very helpful. In terms of people going into a panic about the blood moons, I don't think they should. But in terms of appropriate preparedness and in terms of kind of understanding our world and understanding a lot of the coexistent cultures, belief systems, prophecies, understandings, and tying it all together. There's certainly value in researching and understanding, and the more we kind of research and know and keep abreast of these things, I think the better off we are, Mike.
Yep, I agree. And like I say, it's not something that I would say go out and do something radical. It's just something to enrich your knowledge and kind of a sense of what's happening.
So, Sam, had you heard of the Arab forces saying that when they, you know, when they were, I guess you could say, attacked by the Israelis, that they would see these a whole bunch more people with them than were really there, though? I mean, basically reporting that they had seen these angels helping the Israeli forces. Had you heard of that?
Yes, I have. And you know, there's all kinds of historical realities of wars and attacks where there's more people involved. There's different scenarios than it may first appear. I mean, even the Revolutionary War was that way, right? So there's all kinds of scenarios about that. But the question really that people need to ask is this: what are the blood moons, and how do they affect my life, or do they, Mike?
I think it's it talks about how God gives us signs in the heavens. And
that, by the way, that's biblically sound as all get out, right?
And you know, God has done that. I mean, the Star of Bethlehem was a sign in the heavens. And people argue as to what it was, but the one thing they do agree is that they saw something. And, you know, I saw an incredible sight. What was it back in, I think it was 1999, 2000, where the Northern Lights were seen as far south as Los Angeles. And I was up in Yellowstone when I saw the event. And literally the Northern Lights, if you were to draw a line east to west, it was like there was a big neon light bulb illuminating the northern half of the sky. It was incredible.
Yes, and the Lord has always used signs in the heavens for guidance. In our modern society with buildings and lights and modern technology, we rarely look up anymore, which is a tragedy. And I think that's one of the important takeaways to really consider is that, hey, we need to look up into the sky and ponder, on one hand, how small we are. On the other hand, how God, or there is a deity in charge. And that deity loves and considers each one of us. And so, yes, on one hand, we're small compared to the universe. On the other hand, we are not forgotten. We are known by the Almighty. And I think the more we learn to look up and focus on how vast the skies really are, and if we learn to look for a sign in the skies for guidance, if you will, or direction for understanding, I think that we start to remember him, which is a critical phrase, where we remember Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us. And I think we can have his spirit with us and guidance in our lives as we do so. And so when the Savior came, there were certainly signs in the sky. I mean, most people remember the Star of David and the star hovered over the newborn babe, etc. We know that the weather and signs were used when they murdered or killed the Savior Jesus Christ. There was 3 days of darkness. So we know that there are signs in the skies. The question is, how do we interpret them for us and how do we utilize them? And many people believe that the blood moons are certainly related, and there's no doubt it's not an accident. Let's start there. Mike, do you have more?
That's it. He just wanted me to report about that.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Godspeed. There he goes. Mike doing a great job. We'll talk more about the movie in a second.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rainfly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
No doubt, historically speaking, biblical signs in the skies are legitimate. There's a lot of Christian people that talk about the blood moons, the four blood moons. You say, what is a blood moon? Well, a lot of people are saying they're celestial signals, Kurt. And a blood moon, just so you know, a blood moon is sometimes used to describe a total lunar eclipse. And they say a lunar eclipse can be a blood moon. Now, what I want to kind of explain about this, though, is it gets very complicated about when they appear, how they appear, how many times they've done so, etc., etc., etc. But the bottom line is it relates to end time prophecies and expectations that, hey, when you get these four blood moons, and it's happening right now, by the way, it gets very interesting because is God sending a celestial signal, a time, for us to really take notice and understand Some people say blood moons. When you see four blood moons, it means something special is about to happen. And a lot of people believe that it's negative. Now, there's two Christian preachers with huge Christian followings who believe we're dealing with the last of the four blood moons that we've dealt with over the last 18 months. And it's supposed to happen in September and October. Even the Washington Post and many other groups have written about it, Kurt. And I guess my take on this is this. Are there signs in the skies? Without question. Does God use celestial signals to give us direction and give us kind of a timeline and kind of a heads up? Absolutely. Do we want to get crazy and put our own interpretations to the signs God gives? I don't think so. Because if we're not very careful, we kind of run off the rails and how much of it becomes scriptural and God-driven versus man-interpreted. And that's kind of where the difficulty comes. But I would say this, Kurt, and I'm going to make one point very clear about this, then turn it over to you for comment. The movie's interesting. There's books about it, movies about it, articles about it. You can read the scriptures and study about it yourself. You can read what commentators have wrote about it. But I will simply tell you this. We are told by God to have faith, not run around in fear. Make that very clear. We are told by God that, you know what, we need to have faith, not fear. We are also told by God that if we, you know what, keep his commandments and do what he asks us to do, we're going to be all right. Things are going to turn out okay. Even if we pass away before we want to, you know what, we're going to be taken up and be with God once again. And so to me, the most important guideline that we ought to get out of signs of the times or solar signals or whatever term you want to use to talk about the blood moons or signs in the sky and what they mean is we need to look up instead of down at the skies and marvel that the Almighty's in charge. And even though we're so small in the universe that he created, he loves and notices and is aware of each one of us. And that what we need to do to be favored of the Lord would be to obey him. To do what he asks us to do. Instead of our will, we need to be like the Savior and say, not my will, but thy will be done, God. And then if we obey the commandments of God, we don't have a whole lot of worries. In fact, we have the ability for God to give us direction on what we can do to protect ourselves, what we can do to ensure our safety and stability. And instead of freaking out about the, quote, blood moon apocalypse debate, we can go, hey, I do turn to God through prayer and looking up in the skies for guidance. And I do my very best to act on the whisperings that he gives me. And I'm doing my best to live a good, honest, clean life as he's directed me to do. And I hope to qualify for his guidance. And I trust him. One of the big keys here is to learn to trust God. Is he in charge? Can he take care of us? Has he forgotten us? The answer to these questions are critical to discuss a lot of this, Kurt. And man, there's a big lot of discussion on this. I mean, I'm telling you right now, people can discuss it till the cows come home. It's very complicated. And I believe that we ought to have the takeaways that I'm pointing to, which is remembering God, keeping his commandments, trusting in him, turning to him for guidance. All right, there you have it, Kurt. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, I just, the main thing I wanted Mike to bring up and that he did very well was that I had heard about the Six-Day War and I had heard about, you know, the blood moons, but I'd never heard the reports of the, basically the Arab soldiers saying that, for example, in one case, they talk about seeing basically like an army of angels, you know, working with the Israelis, like a cavalry army in the sky. You know, those are things that I had not heard about. You know, I appreciated that. I thought that was interesting stuff.
Yeah, they say the blood moons and the events unfolding, potentially not a good day for humans. They also talk about the great and notable day of the Lord. It talks about it in Joel. It talks about it in Acts. But they say a lot of this stuff has to do with this cottage theory based on books, etc. And they say something is about to change. They say you got to interpret heavenly signs. A lot of these books help you decode that and get to the bottom of it. All I'm telling you is I understand it. I think it's something to keep an eye on. I think there's no doubt God's guidance in the stars, in the sky. But you got to be very careful that you don't go off into astrology and learn to deal with the stars and Mother Earth. And if you're not very careful, it gets off the rails and you don't turn towards the true God, Kurt. So there's a lot of complications here. And I usually don't drill into theological or religious matters to this degree. However, I want to say that, again, I believe that what we need to do is evaluate our own personal lives. We need to clean our inner vessel, in a sense, meaning that we need to repent before God for our mistakes. And you know what? Seek for direction and guidance. Turn to Him and say, I'm going to do what you want, Lord, and I hope that you guide me. And start there. And so, I guess oftentimes, Kurt, people want to study on this a little too hard, and they want to take it a little too seriously in the sense that they want to take their own interpretations, which I think can be very dangerous. Because if you're not careful, you get into a scenario where it starts to not make sense. And especially when you start to take action based on end times scenarios. We're clearly taught in Scripture, we don't know when we don't know when the Lord's going to come. We just don't know. And so I guess what I'm saying is it's really concerning if we let the reality of signs in the skies delivered by God, celestial signals, if you will, or messages. And then we put our own interpretation on it, Kurt, and we decide we know what it means. Sometimes you can run off the rails very quickly that way. So I would submit, turn to God, keep His commandments, and pray for His protection and blessings would be the starting point for me. And I would say that let's keep an eye on the sky. Now, when you talk about a six-day war, Kurt, is that a look at the past? Or a question for the future, or both. When you talk about Jewish history, when you talk about some of these things, I think that directly relates, doesn't it? I mean, in the 1967 Six-Day War, is that a discussion for the future when it comes to the four blood moons?
Well, at least it shows you, and we've talked about this a number of times, you know, when the American troops or whatever, when if there is really a justified war, and that's a very tricky thing to, you know, deal with. We're talking about defensive war. But when there is, you know, why not get in and get it done and get out? And so many times, you know, it's got to endure for years and years and years while the military-industrial complex milks it for all its worth, or way more than what it's worth. You know, the Israelis, aided by angels, apparently, did it right in 6 days, I assume, you know.
Well, all right, there you have it. Anyway, that's kind of a breakdown. Have you seen the movie, Kurt?
No, I haven't, Sam.
All right, well, you got to bust out and watch the movie about the four blood moons.
But my resident movie expert, Michael, you know, gave us the update on it. And, you know, I appreciate that.
I think Michael would like it better if you watch it, Kurt.
I found that I can't watch everything.
Man, we got to fix Kurt. I don't know what's wrong with him. All right, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you always heard the phrase, where's the beef? People aren't asking that anymore, Kurt. They got another question on their minds, don't they?
Well, yeah, according to the Bloomberg.com boys, the headline, bison is the new beef as more diners choose it over steak. Now, so what they're really saying is you got more people eating buffalo than steak? I don't think so. But anyway, they say at $47, the bison filet at Eddie Merlot's Steakhouse is just as expensive as the New York strip steak. And by the way, they say it's also half the size. Now, does that mean it's just as expensive, Sam? The grass-fed meat, they say, has fewer calories, less cholesterol, or fat than beef, and consumers, and I would say, they say less cholesterol or fat, I would say less taste. And consumers can't seem to get enough. Restaurants are raising prices while the meat wants a niche item is now stocked by retailers, including Whole Foods Market, the Kroger Company, the Costco Wholesale Corp. The growing appetite, they say, for bison is part of a wider trend toward organic foods, a small but expanding part of the food industry.
Yeah, we're talking about buffalo meat, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, what I want to know is, have you had it?
Sir? Absolutely. In fact, one time, believe it or not, this is kind of a personal story. I worked for a company, and my boss at this one company, I've worked for a lot of companies, Kurt, by the way, as a consultant, yes, and et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, this one boss basically sent me a Christmas present. And believe it or not, he had flown in a styrofoam ice chest full of buffalo meat. And there was buffalo steaks, there was buffalo burgers, there was buffalo sausage, there was buffalo jerky. And I'm telling you right now, it's some of the best meat I've ever had. Since then, on occasion, I've searched for and seeked out bison or buffalo meat because it's really good. I mean, it tastes a lot like really thin quality hamburger, meaning that it's not a fatty meat at all. It's very good for you. It tastes phenomenal. The only problem is it's kind of harder to get, Kurt, and it's quite expensive. But other than that, I'm telling you, it's tremendous. I can see why people are seeking it out.
Yeah, but, I mean, this headline is basically saying that more diners choose it over steak. I'm just like...
Well, it depends on how you define more, Kurt.
Misleading headline.
Hold on. If one does it... Hold on, Kurt. If one does it,
yes,
and then tomorrow there's two that do it, it's more. Diners are doing it, Kurt.
Anyway,
your point's well taken.
They say that Ted Turner, the CNN, founder boy, he's the owner of the world's largest private herd of bison or buffalo. And I guess he's now opened the first of a series of restaurants to serve dishes such as bison short ribs and bison meatloaf. Bison are considered a conservation success story. There are more than 500,000 in North America, according to a Colorado processor. Well, that's a fancy word for a slaughterhouse. Great range brand bison. Following the efforts of private ranchers, imagine private ranchers. They were almost hunted, they say, to extinction back in the late 1800s, and their numbers dwindling to less than about 1,000, they say, by the 70s. The increase in the herd size meant they
started to be sold for meat. Yeah, 'cause it takes a lot of acres for those dudes, Kurt.
A lot of what?
Acres. Got to have a lot of ground.
Oh, okay.
To raise them buffalo,
well,
buddy.
Does it take more than a cow?
I don't know. I think so.
Anyway, I am not aware. But I do know this, that, one of the things that's interesting in this story, it says, the consumer today doesn't trust the food industry.
I wonder
why.
Roger
Gerber, chief executive officer of Black Wing Quality Meats, a U.S. distributor of bison meat, says, quote, "They can feel comfortable to know it doesn't have hormones, it doesn't have antibiotics," end quote. Now, what I would suggest to you, ladies and gentlemen, is find a neighbor like Vincent Finelli, our guest last
hour. Dude, they don't
hour,
have buffalo meat.
Or, well, but what I'm saying is, Vince doesn't have buffalo, but he does have moo cows. And I know that, if you arrange with him, he might even sell one of those beloved animals, or parts of one to you. And you could make sure that it didn't have hormones or antibiotics in it. And that's what I do for you, right, Sam?
Absolutely. I do that without question. And by the way, it's some of the leanest, best tasting meat that you can get that I know of. It tastes great. It's less expensive that way. You cut out the middleman. You don't feel like you're going to turn into a cow because of the hormones. It's a good plan.
Right. Yeah. You actually, it's kind of a way out idea, but actually trying to go to the source of the product, and buy it there and getting to know those people, like you would maybe.
All right. So it's like $60 for 5 pounds on this Blackwing website, Kurt, for instance.
Whoa. I mean, it's just interesting, the story. They started out and say, hey, man, it's basically the same cost. Of course, for the same cost, you get half as much.
All right. It's $8.89 for a 1-pounder, by the way. So if you want to get some bison meat, 1-pounder, Kurt, it's $8.89.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm not against it. I'm just saying, in my opinion, it's a misleading the way they report it.
Well, there's no question.
And, I'm not telling you that every steak that I'd buy, but, find a neighborhood rancher, somebody you know. If you don't know one, hey, I can hook you up with some and get you some beef that, you can.
But anybody in the country, if they seek it out, can find local beef by a farmer that does not do the chemicals and the toxins and the hormones and the garbage. And anybody can find it and buy it and cut out the middleman, and we ought to do that today. It reminds me of the Joyce Riley phrase, which is do business with the good guys, thepowermall.com. Check it out today, thepowermall.com. But I digress. The point that I'm getting at is we want to do business with those kind of people. Kurt, that's part of the point.
Amen to that, Sam. That is the big point, right?
All right. So more diners choose it over steak. I guess if the one diner was doing that and now there's two, we got more doing it. But the headline's misleading for sure. They make you believe it's almost like steak's on the out and bison's in, and wherever you go, you can get it. And that's not even close to true. It's quite expensive, Kurt, and only unique places have it. Believe it or not, I think you can go to Cabela's. And a lot of times they have buffalo and ostrich and some of these other meats, too. Just for your gee whiz collection. Russia, they don't want you smuggling bison or anything else, do they, Kurt?
Well, the Russians are at it again, huh, Sam? It looks like, at least they're being serious about what they call food smuggling. And Russian customs officials want to make smuggling banned Western foods a criminal offense. That ought to fix it for sure. You know, it looks like they want to do it and be as serious about it as dealing in radioactive materials or explosives. They say in retaliation to Western sanctions over their role in the Ukraine crisis, Russia last year banned certain food imports from the European Union, the U.S., and few other countries. Maybe these guys didn't know about it, but when you make a law, people don't always follow the law, but they have confiscated this contraband food. Yeah, they say with hundreds of tons of fruit and cheese steamrolled and burnt in a public display of the ban enforcement.
That ought to
get all this stuff.
Hey, let's just go ahead and say that since they won't let us have food, we're going to burn all the food we have.
Yeah.
It's kind of like those guys that go on hunger strikes. I don't get that at all, Kurt.
Because
if we let you go on a hunger strike too long, you won't be on a hunger strike, right?
Yeah, you'll be dead strike. The customs officials claim that the current
penalty, Kurt.
You've assumed room temperature.
No, you've heard. You've heard three strikes and you're out. In this case, it's one strike and you're out, bro.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, they say the customs officials there in Russia claim that the current penalty for banned food smuggling, a fine of up to $300,000, well, they say that means $4,500.
Dad, just shoot them on sight, Kurt.
Is not harsh enough as
that's
a deterrent.
Right. Darn right. Yeah. Just take them all out.
You know, I mean, it's just nuts, but you think Russia's crazy. I mean, you know, you know this kind of stuff goes on in America, Sam, right?
Oh, like of course.
With, smokes or whatever.
Well, and the other thing is they say this, Kurt, if you're a food hoarder in America, if you believe in the latest federal government executive orders, I think they were done by George Bush or Bill Clinton or one of those guys, they're basically saying if you're a food hoarder, then you can be criminally prosecuted as well. So I'm not sure if a food hoarder is worse than a food smuggler. And would smuggling and hoarding be similar, like terms in this regard, Kurt? Just wondering.
Ooh, look out. That means you've got more food than what? Today's worth?
Yeah. Hey, man, do you know who Sam Ray is, Kurt? I'm sure you don't. He's a teenager. I'll tell you about him in seconds. I got this story off the Blaze. Pretty cool stuff. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt. There's a guy by the name of Sam Ray. He's a teenager, Kurt. And this teenager's quite interesting. I got this story on The Blaze, by the way. If you want to read the whole detail, it's there. And one of the things I like about The Blaze is they always bring up unique stories like this. Stories of good news, unique stories of heroism, stories of beating the odds, stories of how guns save people, not just kill everybody. They do a lot of good things at The Blaze. Well, anyway, Sam Ray was working on his truck, Kurt. And he was talking to his dad on his phone, and then he got some advice from his dad, and he got done, and then he was trying to crawl out from under his truck. The jack slipped, and the truck fell on him, and he was getting smashed by a 5,000-pound truck. What he first did is he begged God through prayer to save him, Kurt. He just went into prayer mode. He said, I was praying like I've never prayed before. He was trapped under the 5,000-pound truck. He begged God to save him, and he said what happened next is the answer to his prayer. He's alive, obviously, Kurt, because he's telling you about it, right? That's the good news. And what happened is he started praying, and all of a sudden he thought, you know what? I got my phone with me. So you've heard of butt dialing before, right, Kurt, where you dial with your bum and you don't mean to?
I've heard of that.
All right. Well, this is intentional butt dial. He moved himself, even though he was under the truck, so that Siri, he heard the Siri little bong. He said, Siri, 911 or whatever, or Siri, call my parents. I can't remember who he called. I think he called 911. So, you know, Siri called 911, and Siri called 911, and then he started yelling. He said, I'm under a truck. I'm trapped. I need help. He said, I couldn't tell if the operator heard me, but I thought I heard her say something like, help was just around the corner. Next thing you know, Kurt, they saved his life. So this is a scenario where, I mean, I guess those people who don't believe in God could just say Siri saved him, Kurt. But if you believe Sam Ray and his family, he was trapped under a 5,000-pound truck as he begged God to save him. He said what happened next was an answer to his prayer. So he's saying it's an answer to prayer, Kurt. Now, if that's not a good news story and turning people to God and solutions and protection, I don't know what is, Kurt.
Great point.
I'm just saying that was all right. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
I know it's hard to believe that there are some good news stories from time to time, and we try to find them. Well, this I don't know if this is good or not, Kurt, but they call it booty sometimes. I'm not talking about women's behinds. I'm talking about contraband or ill-gotten gain or whatever you want to call it. What do they call this? Nazi booty, Kurt?
Well, yeah. Now, apparently, Sam, there's a report in, according to the AP, Warsaw, Poland's the Dateline, that a couple of guys have, they claim they've found the what's called the legendary Nazi train that they say, according to local lore, was loaded with gold, gems, and valuable art, and that it vanished, they say, back, well, into a system of secret tunnels as the Germans fled advancing Soviet forces at the end of World War II. I don't remember what movie it was, but I saw some of this, you know, kind of something about this in a movie. They say historians say the existence of the train has never been conclusively proven, but authorities are not passing up this chance at possibly recovering treasures that have sparked the imaginations of local people for decades. One Polish district big shot, Marika Tokarska, she's an official there. She said, "We believe that a train has been found. We are taking this seriously." She said her office had received two letters this month from a law firm representing the men. That's one of them's a Pole. That means it's from Poland, not that he's really skinny. And a German who are remaining anonymous, saying that they are seeking 10% of the value of the train's contents for revealing its location.
Yeah, do you think he was doing a pole dance, Kurt, when he found the booty?
No.
No.
She says, I bet he was dancing, though, after.
No Polish dancing?
She says
dancing,
that hiring.
He's Polish.
Little dancing after. She says that hiring a law firm gives credibility to the two men's claims, as do indications that they are familiar with the train's content.
If you found a train full of treasure, Kurt, would you do a little jig?
Sounds like it. I think it would be kind of cool. They say
I was just thinking that was kind of interesting, that pole dancing. Different from the pole dancing that Americans do, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Already the district governor has convened a meeting of firefighters, police, and others to explore how they can safely handle the train if it is located.
There you go. Not only Kurt could would do, if he found that treasure, he'd be doing the blood moon moonwalk kind of dance, like Michael Jackson said, but it'd be the blood moonwalk, right?
They say not only could it be armed with explosives, but methane gas underground could add to the risk of an explosion. It could be dangerous. They say the train is said to have gone missing back in May of 45. Legend says it was armed and loaded with treasure and disappeared after entering a complex of tunnels under the Owl Mountains.
Do you believe
a
they found it, Kurt?
Project known as, I don't know, Sam. I mean, it does sound like it's possible.
I don't believe it.
Which the Nazis never finished. They say at the time the area belonged to Germany, but now lies in Poland.
I don't think they're seeing it, Kurt. I think it's a Nazi situation.
Nazi, good point.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a Nazi. I'm not seeing that. Yeah, okay, gotcha. But anyway... it's kind of an interesting story.
It's a weird story. I don't know if I believe it's true or not. I'm not saying it's impossible. They always run around and tell you they found Noah's Ark, Kurt, right?
Well, Ark. They found the Ark.
Yeah, they did?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I know this is kind of an interesting story. The Owl Mountains.
Well... Yeah, Big Al probably discovered those along with the internet, Kurt.
Uh-huh. Yes,
speaking of Big Al, he's thinking about running for prez, Kurt.
Boy, I'll tell you what. There's hardly anything that could excite me more than that.
Than Big Al getting her done. Yeah, but he might be back in the race. I mean, it is the time of global warming. Hot air's everywhere.
Oh, man, that's right.
All right, Kurt's going swimming, ladies and gentlemen. He's getting in the Speedo, and he's ready to go.
Well, Sam, they've got what they call a sky pool. And, I guess if you look at the picture, you got like two buildings that are kind of close to each other. So this one guy decided, hey, man, I'll just kind of share the pool with both buildings. And so this 25-meter-long swimming pool is suspended 10 stories in the air. Part of each of the, part of the pool is under, or on top of the normal buildings, and then parts just suspended out there in the air with some pretty thick glass. So if you do swim out there, you feel sort of like, that you're swimming in air, through air. So hold on.
You're in the water, though, right?
Yeah.
So the only reason you're in the air is because you could see through this, like, tube swimming pool that's strung between these two buildings kind of a thing, right?
Right. Yeah, 20-centimeter thick glass, so you could look down, and people could look up, you got to do one of these things, Sam.
Where do I got to go, London?
Next door. Yeah, that's right. They say the sky pool is certainly architecturally striking. The project can also be seen as symbolic of London's housing problems.
Isn't that typical of government?
In the city.
Yeah. On the surface, it looks awesome, and then when you dig into the details, it's like disaster. That's usually the case.
Embassy Gardens itself is part of the larger development, which is intended to regenerate, they say, the inner city district. Instead, the critics say homes in the $23 billion development are being marketed primarily to wealthy buyers in Asia and the Middle East, with locals simply priced out of the market. Well, anyway.
That's how it is in D.C., sir.
Swim through the air. Yeah. Anyway, I think that was an interesting.
Well, you've heard of Air Jordans, Kurt. You can just put on your Air Jordans and you can just, you know, swim in your shoes.
Swim. Yeah, good point.
See? And then you could do the blood moon walk while you're in the air pool.
You know what I mean? Or look up while you're swimming. Yeah.
Well, you should look up for guidance, for sure.
Yeah, good.
That's what I'm talking about. We do too much looking down these days. But very interesting, though. Basically, you got a glass tube swimming pool by the rich going on.
Yeah.
And, Kurt, are you going to go and check it out? Are you gonna? Is that like one of the new seven wonders of the world? They're going to kick out one for this one?
I think maybe we should have the next CSPOA event there.
Now you're talking.
Is what I was thinking. And,
all right. Kurt, you know, you go on the fundraising stint, and once you get that, you know, solidified.
Get the money ready for Sheriff Mack, then we'll roll.
Which are with your PAC donors, or what do they call those, your bundling
That's
donors?
Right. That's
and once
right.
you got that going on, then let me know, and we'll go ahead and set her up.
Good point.
I can do all the logistics if you go ahead and just bring in the financial wherewithal. I'm counting on Kurt for that. Instead of going swimming in an air pool, though, you could eat raw honey instead. And it might be good for your health. And if you did that, you could go to the GiveMeLibertyFund.com, and you could sign up and become a member and then get discounts on that sweet stuff called honey. Get a hold of Kurt to learn more about raw honey shipped to your door. Kind of like that bison. People are loving it. More people are eating honey than sugar now. Well, it's not quite true, but we're working on it, okay? I'm just saying. All right, get a hold of Kurt. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com. Just like it sounds, Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com, or call him and talk to him. He might even answer the phone and say buenos dias to you, okay? Get a hold of Kurt. That's 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. For Sam and Kurt, you know what? We declare we the people can and will restore America. It's going to take a lot of work, and we need your help, but our greater numbers and the looking up towards God for guidance and direction is the answer every time. LibertyRoundtable.com for our website. Click on Help Us Grow if you want to donate today. After all, this nation shall endure.